So, welcome back. After lunchtime, it's the best time on the of the day for a session, so you can fall asleep. But, obviously you have to work in this session too, and you will have to, well, it's an interactive session, so you're free to discuss things, raise questions, and ask whatever you want. So the interesting part I just discussed that here is, when I did my first session today, I asked you who's doing Scrum, and most of you raised their hand, like 80% in the room. But when I started poking on specific things, like who has a definition of done, like 3 to 4 arms, who's actually doing daily meetings, daily Scrum meetings, maybe 10. So how are you all doing Scrum? And when I ask for any of those specific practices, nobody raises their hand. Something's wrong here, isn't it? So I'm already talking about Scrum, although I didn't want to, because it doesn't matter if we're doing Scrum or not. Scrum is just one way of being agile, and it helps you to become very agile as a team, but you don't have to do Scrum. The reason why I mentioned Scrum is it's the new default in Visual Studio. If you create a new team project and you always hit next, 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 and you don't even see that this was a combo box that actually asked you to select something, and you just hit next, 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 you get the default template. It used to be the Microsoft Solutions Framework for Agile Software Development. This was the default template, and now in 2012 it's Scrum. So if you don't know what you're doing, next, 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 you're doing Scrum now. Well, at least from the vocabulary. So the requirement is not a requirement anymore. It's called product backlog item. Not sure this is the best name for it, but it's still the same concept. So Scrum is a new template, and it's the new default template because Microsoft does something Scrum-like too. They're also probably not doing 100% Scrum, but that's okay. And this is why I talk about Scrum all the time, although what I really mean to say is something agile. By the way, what does agile mean? Agile is a nice term, right? It's a very flexible word. What would mean agile development to you? What's the important part about it? What do you think? You want to be agile. That's why you're here, probably. So why? What do you hope you get out of agile? Less documentation? Hopefully not. Cope with change, so that you're not afraid of change, you don't hate people who change things and say, yes, we are able to change your software. Okay. What is it?
We still hate them.
Yeah. To get software that the customer wants at the end. Huh. Yeah, so you do more a trial and error approach. Yeah. So because you deliver earlier and more often, and you actually see if he wants it or not, so it's a trial and error approach. Yeah. Which makes sense, yeah, that's a success factor of agile software. After all, we're doing software, right? We can try out a software product without screwing up any real production systems or killing people. It's not like building an airplane where you have exactly one chance. Software can crash in a controlled environment if you like to try something out. This is how developers work anyway, right? You write some code you don't understand yourself, you copy it from the internet, press F5, and let's see if it works. This is trial and error. We're trying to use the same concept, just not only on code lines, but also with our client. I'm not sure if I understood you, but let me just build it. Is this what you wanted? No? Okay, let me correct it. So we're just doing trial and error here. Hit F5 on the customer. That's what we're doing. Right? This is agile software development, shorter cycles. And I'm really convinced that if we are not able to go down to shorter cycles, so to be able to react more rapidly to our customer demands, then we will really have a business problem for our company at some point. So in 10 years from now, if you don't do short cycles and it takes you months to implement something, this will not work. Just imagine a large company, and the boss of the large company has a new idea about a new strategy he wants to do. And he announces the strategy. Obviously, he hasn't asked any employee before, but anyway, he announces a new strategy at the top. And now the software needs 6 to 12 months to adapt to the new strategy. After 12 months, he probably has the next strategy, and now your software is done for the last strategy. And so you see, there's a disconnect. So you have to be very agile in today's world. And there are many small startups using agile techniques, and they can spin up new websites and new software projects very fast because they are used to work in teams and in very small cycles. So yes, for me, the most important thing about agile software is short cycles, being able to deliver more frequently, faster, to adapt when necessary. Scrum is one way of doing it. I'm not saying you have to do Scrum. I will mention Scrum a lot just because Scrum has one advantage over every other process in the agile space that I know for now. It actually has a documentation. There's a Scrum guide that you can open and read, and if we all read the same guide, we use the same vocabulary, we understand what we're talking about. Scrum doesn't mention every detail, it's just a rough framework where you can move and do your stuff. Scrum tells you start the sprint, end the sprint, and do those daily meetings. That's all what Scrum says. How does your day look like? Oh, Scrum forgot about that. This is your detail, right? You will figure it out what the best is for your team. So if you go down to details when it gets more technical and unit testing and stuff, Scrum doesn't care. It tells you, you know what you promise, you know when the end of sprint is coming, you better have it done by then. Organize yourself. The team knows at its best how to organize itself. Self-organization. So you definitely need more than just Scrum to and Agile practices to have a successful software. So one thing I just wanted to mention is there is something called a professional Scrum developer program at Microsoft. And it started when the new Team Foundation Server came up, because people complained that a Team Foundation Server training where you only learn the new features is not a good idea. Because with Team Foundation Server, you can do everything. You can customize everything. You can solve every problem in the world probably with it, including world hunger and everything. So you have to come to answer the question, how do you want to use this tool, right? I can do everything. How do I want to use it? And just by providing like TFS-specific training didn't help. So Microsoft said, okay, we need a partner that can actually tell us how to develop, how to be a good software developer today, a professionally good software developer. And then they created an additional course, and they called it Professional Scrum Developer. So Microsoft initiated it together with Scrum.org. So everyone who's part of a software development team, which obviously is somebody who codes, but also testers and database specialists and whoever is on this list here, who's delivering value as part of a sprint, as part of a software, is part of this course. And they will talk about all the things that you will experience in your daily life, plus obviously the tooling side from Microsoft. But tooling is really the second and less important part here. Tools can help, but you have to know what you want to do, actually, right? That was all I prepared for today. Yes, thanks. Now it's your part. Let me open up the agenda real quick. Of course, I have a clear idea what I want to show you, but let me just save. It's not that Notepad would ever crash, but saving is always a good idea. Let's use the auto intent function here. There you go. What are your questions about agile software and adopting agile software? Let me just get a few ideas. Write them down, and then when I go through the whole sprint structure, we can talk about this. Any specifics you brought with us, problems or things you think that can't work, anything you want me to answer while I walk through TFS and Scrum and Agile software? Yes, sir. Two developers and one tester? So is two developers and one tester enough to form a Scrum team? Mm-hmm. You want the short answer right now? It's yes, but we can continue. Yes, sir.
What do you do if you have all the coding done and there's still some testing left at the end of
it? It sounds like you're doing real world development and not Scrum. Thanks. I'll write it on the list. Yes, sir. Reporting at end of sprint. It's kind of metrics probably, right?
Yeah, just get the baseline figures for the next sprint.
Oh, okay.
So how do you use the previous sprint for your next sprint then?
Uh-huh. Yes, got it. Mm-hmm. Thanks. Yes?
You refine work items mm-hmm. during the sprint.
You refine them or? Yeah.
Break it down.
Yep. This is a very important part we will be discussing at the beginning. Yes?
Yeah.
Sir? Interesting question. I'll put this to the end, though. Uh-huh. Very nice. There's one in the back. Yes? Like, is there time in between two sprints, or? Yeah. Okay, thanks. Sir?
Using Scrum on a fixed price
project. Ah. So you have all daytime, right? We can stay here until evening? Okay. Fixed price projects. Oh, wait, just like this. Yeah. Sir? Yes, please. Give me an example what kind of team member you're thinking of right now.
For example, somebody that delivers requirements.
Yeah, okay. Somebody who delivers requirements, refines them. Okay, I'll write that down. When are... Yeah, PVIs refined. Is the business analyst part of the Scrum team? Blah, blah. Okay, got it. Yes, please. How to calculate velocity of your sprints if the velocity is changing every sprint because of emergency issues and whatever happens during a sprint. Yeah, thank you. Not fully committed? Oh. So they have other projects or other tasks to do as well, right? Real life, okay, anyway. Thank you. Yep, over here. So tasks that you find during a sprint, or?
Well, we use something called the open space where you can, during the sprint, you can tell some things that aren't really working in the code, you do small refactorings.
Huh.
In my experience, it's just adding extra work to the sprint, and you haven't planned
for it. So it's basically you discover, during a sprint, you discover things that you want to improve, and you discuss it with your team members, and it adds up to the work? Incorporate, basically it's unplanned code cleaning tasks, something like that, kind of, plus minus. What do you say, we need 3 sessions for this? That's true, yeah. From a time perspective. Yeah, there's no product owner yet on the list. That's very interesting. Nobody mentioned the product owner, you're only caring about the team. Yes, sir. Oh, I love that question. Thank you. Perfect. I give you the 10 euros later, right? It's probably really fun if it takes 2 days. 2 days of requirements, estimation, and talking. That's really fun. That's why you got a developer, yeah. So the interesting part about what we collected already is there's almost not a single tool question. A few go into the tool and the tool can help with it, but most are really process questions, right? The real issues in the real world is not tool-driven. A tool can help or even make it harder for you to, or more difficult, but the tool is not solving any problem for you. You have to solve your problems in a process, and then the tool can just adapt to it. Very interesting. Yeah, we'll probably need like 3 days to discuss all this, but I think it's a great start for a great discussion. And let's start somewhere. As you know, Microsoft has now those new shiny tools, which are not only for agile teams, but for everyone who wants to use them. If you use the default template, you will see terms like product backlog item, because Scrum says new requirements and everything, that's a product backlog item. If you change to a different template, like the Microsoft Classic CMMI template, you would see others, like terms like requirements, change requests, even risk work items, the more classical terms. But it doesn't matter in all the cases, if you're doing Scrum or not, or something that has no name what you're doing and it has some Scrum similarities, it's all good. You can still use the same tools in the things we discussed today to manage your process. So if you look at the product backlog feature of TFS, it assumes that you have a flat list of things that you can put into order by dragging and dropping it, which makes sense, but this is not day one, right? You have something before that. You need to gather ideas and maybe split them up, break them down, and at the end you will have a flat list. So there's something that happens before that, the backlog filling process and refining process, that is also its own cycle. It's happening in parallel to the sprint. This is what the product owner should actually do. And this is why it makes sense to not have somebody as a product owner that is already 100% occupied by whatever else, because he's supposed to do backlog management all day, right? Dragging, dropping, basically, drag and drop all day, which is what product owners do, like office users, right? Drag up, drag and drop. So they're using the backlog, and it's their duty to define requirements, to refine them over time, so that the top part of the backlog is well defined. We will talk about idea management and stuff a little bit later, because that product backlog now assumes you have a flat list with no hierarchy for now. So let me just add a few requirements here. If you haven't used that so far, it really depends where you have your selection. So if you select one of those items, new items will be inserted just at that point. Or if you go to the end, you will just add them to the end. Drag and drop. And stuff. So you have a new idea, you add it to the backlog. According to Scrum, everyone can add ideas, which is okay. But there's only one guy who can do the drag and drop and give you the order of things. The most important thing is at the top. And the order field that you see here, the column order, is not saved in the work item. So this is just in this view. If you don't have that view or use Visual Studio, you don't see the order. It will save, however, a value into a field called backlog priority. This is more kind of an old school approach. If you've ever seen basic programs, then you will probably know what that is. You just have some numbers, which is your sorting field. If you open in Excel and stuff, you want to sort after some field. And since order is not a field, backlog priority is. And this is some algorithm that Microsoft came up with. So you have enough space between work items to add more work items, basically, to the backlog. So why do you need this field, and why should you know and care that it's there? Because if you use some other tool and not this view, for example, this tool here, the project manager's favorite, and connect up to the same list, the product backlog, you don't get anything because you were in a different project. But luckily, we cannot change this. And so the default sorting will be done based on the backlog priority field so that you get the same order, although there's no drag and drop and stuff here. If you want to insert a work item here, well, then you have to use the backlog priority field. So probably you want to use this view for it. So as a product owner, you're responsible to keep all items in order, and the first one should be the most important one. But in order to be able to do that, to decide what should really be on the backlog and what the order is, what input do I need as a product owner? What would you say is the minimum required information level that I will set the state from new to the next one which is approved by the product owner. What would you expect a requirement, a product backlog item to look like before he can accept it? As a development team, what do you, how do you want your description to look like? Complete and reviewed. Well, complete is obviously an interesting term, right? When is a requirement complete? How do I know it's complete? And how complete? So how would you define complete? How do your requirements look like? Is it like you have specific fields that need to be filled out, or? Use cases? Okay, so probably you start off with an idea, which is like the title of the work item. So I have a great idea. How about we can export reports from our application? So this is the idea. So this is how it starts. It's somewhere on the backlogs, just a basic idea. At some point, you have to come up with a description that can be in the user story syntax. As a TFS user, I would like to be able to export reports in order to... Why would I want to export a report? Make what? In order to have a few nice looking pie charts on my wall. Yeah, because you have a new office and the walls are pretty clean and you want to change something. So basically it's an office thing. Very good. So interestingly, this is an HTML field, right? So you can, in theory, use formatting, which works great here. If you want to change the font size, it's possible since it's an HTML field. How do you change the font size in here? Any suggestions? I mean, that's really easy. That would probably work, but probably then it's a different size or whatever. Control shift arrow? Huh. No, it's easier. You just go over to Visual Studio, open the same work item, then you mark whatever you want, and look at this. Refresh. Okay, so you can use rich formatting if you want. Sometimes you might even have something like a flip chart on the wall that you've written something down. You have a small chart that you created on your own, a workflow maybe. Then you can add it as an image, which will in fact be added as an attachment in the background. Let's see if I have a very intelligent image lying around somewhere. Well, actually, coffee sounds good. See? This is exactly where I did not want it to be. Like this. So those images are preserved as attachments, although you don't see them here in the attachment tab. Okay, so we have a user story syntax. Is that all you need? Can you decide now if we're doing it or not? Is that enough for you as a product owner? Would you approve this now, or do you need more information?
I would like to know what kind of reporting.
What kind of reporting? Yeah. Okay. So you're doing a very important thing now. You're asking me, the customer, like questions like, we didn't really get you. Give me more details. What kind of reporting? So we can think about if we have all the necessary stuff in place. And yeah, very good. And this is something that developers usually don't do because they were used to, we never get answers. And even if, it takes days. So better not ask, right? So if nobody answers your question very fast, you stop asking. You just do whatever you think is best. And then you figure out at the end of a sprint, he wanted something different. What a pity. So it makes sense to really ask more and force your developers to ask more. They should not commit to a product backlog item before they don't know exactly what the customer wants. Okay, so in this case, you would probably ask for things like, what's the format? Format should be in PDF. Should be PDF. So the list of acceptance criteria is the most important thing because this is the essence, the checklist, when you will be done. So you could put a title in here like, Dear Developer, Dear Tester, this product backlog item is 100% complete if... So everything that you want as part of this contract between the team and the customer and the product owner should be in this list. This is what we will test against. This is what we will develop. You can even have unit tests or UI tests for each of those bullet points then. And you can even use the real bullet pointing feature here if you want. Yeah, kind of. So it should be PDF. With reports, we mean the default built-in TFS reports. Colors of pie chart should be customizable. Minimum requirement are 60 colors. There's a bonus goal of 256 colors. Oh, 50 whatever. There we go. But this is how the list is created, right? And then this is, there's an initial draft, what the product owner thinks he wants. Then the developers will be asked, is there anything missing? And they will ask, well, you haven't told us this and that, and should we integrate this into the one view or the other? So there's a whole discussion around it. So this list is never complete. It will get added more acceptance criteria items also during a sprint, even when the sprint is already taking place. It's not good, but the world isn't perfect, right? So we will still add things. And as you know, this is a work item, so everything you change and do will be part of the change log, the history. So you can always see who changed it, what did he add, and what did he do in there. So the last change was somebody added acceptance criteria, and the revision number is always incremented plus one. Good. So the next defined state is called approved, so that the product owner approves things on the backlog. Backlog items that have the state of new, it's kind of an inbox. These are just ideas. And they have not been decided if we want to go that path or if we want to put them off the backlog. So the product owner will either go to approved, then the reason is approved by the product owner, or he goes to removed. He says, well, we will not do this. But still, I think we need more information before we can go to approved. What else do we need as a product owner to approve this product backlog item? Where's my text gone? Oh, there it is. Who is a product owner in this room? Huh? Business value, interesting. So the product owner is supposed to create an order at some point, right? And we said that the most important thing should be at the top. So if something has a higher business value, it will be more likely at the top. So it would be enough that the product owner just gives us an order, and we assume that the things on the top have the highest business value. So those, that field here, which is an integer field for business value, you do not have to use it. It's not required by the tooling. It's just there if you, as a product owner, want to write something down which is an integer for showing off as a business value on every requirement, you can do that here. It would have one advantage to do this, actually. If you write down a business value for each of your PVIs, if you note that down, you could create a chart at the end and see how much business value you deliver per sprint, in whatever unit you measure business value, though. And it's also very transparent, because you show other people, like, I think this item has twice as much business value than this PBI. And then you can discuss with clients, and clients will say, no, it's the other way around, actually. So it's pretty good if you come up with some kind of number to put it in here. And you could do the same thing like with estimation. You could take a relative approach and just take numbers 1 to 5 and say, if this PBI is a 3 from a business value perspective, is the other one the same amount of business value? Is it just larger, or is it twice as large or smaller from a business value perspective? So yes, you can use this, but it's not mandatory. It's optional if you want to use this. Okay, we will put something in there. Let's say business value is 3, whatever the unit is. TFS just cares about it's a number. Is that all you would need to order a backlog? The effort, yes. And who should supply that? The team. Is that normal in the real world? My favorite example is if the product manager, product owner, whoever, used to be a developer himself, then, oh, I know this is a small thing. Let's put a 2 on here. Yeah, and he's not even doing it, right? Yes. Surprisingly, you should ask the people who need to implement something about how long they think it will take. Or at least how large something is, what the size is. So there are two things that the team needs to supply before the product owner can actually accept or reject something. One is the effort, which is kind of a relative estimate. And the other thing is technical dependencies. We might have technical dependencies here because we have not even implemented a reporting system, so the export will be a problem, right? So maybe we have technical dependencies, and maybe there's something like add new module called reporting. So now there's a clear technical dependency between those two, which is not represented anywhere in TFS right now. It's just by me ordering it, and I asked the team, and they told me that this is the order. This is how I put it down on the backlog. If you want to make it more explicit, or if you're using Microsoft Project, you can do that, actually. You can add a link and say, okay, there is for backlog item 2. Backlog item 2 is a predecessor, and it has a successor, which is backlog item number 1. And now it's actually even in the system, and if you would open Microsoft Project, it will show you the arrows in the view. So now we have written that down. Next thing, we need the effort. Why do we need an effort here? For planning? Do we need it? To fit into the sprint? Can you not answer the question if a PBI fits into a sprint even without an effort? But just looking at one or two PBIs and I ask you, do they fit in the sprint? Do you need an effort for this? So if you have something like a maintenance project where all the change requests you're doing are similarly small or similarly large, then probably don't need an effort. I have Scrum teams, they have always one as a default value in all the effort fields because everything's like from the same size perspective. Then you don't really need it. But if you don't have the same size thing, then it makes sense to kind of distinguish, okay, this is a very small thing and this is a very large thing, right? And as you probably know, there are different approaches to do this. You can use some kind of numbers. Team Foundation Server doesn't care if you put in days or something more sophisticated like points or t-shirt sizes, which is also a very favorite approach. Because with t-shirt sizes, you just say, okay, let's say we have 5 sizes. It's medium, large, extra large, small, extra small. And all the features have to fit in one of those 5 categories. You get 2 advantages immediately. One advantage is you can now talk to your client and actually do better deals. You can tell him, dear client, do you really want this extra large feature? Or I can give you 5 extra small ones. So now where he gets this information, he can very much better do his prioritization and his ordering because now he realizes what effort is behind it. And we didn't talk about who will do it in the team or what technologies we need to touch. It's just more or less an estimate. It's just, yeah, I think it's larger than this other thing, so let's give it a large. So you look at the existing items that already have, let's say, medium attached to them, and then you just decide if it's a larger or smaller thing. It's a relative estimation technique. So the product owner, your scenario wants 5 items?
No, he says, okay, this 10 items I want fixed.
Yes.
And he says, okay, we commit to 5,
mm-hmm.
and 2 hours to must happen.
Yeah.
So
sure.
You fit in the hours.
So
you look at the items and say, okay, we have 40 hours.
So let's just postpone it for a minute when we start with sprint planning, because right now we're just thinking about that the customer gives us a relative order of all the things so we can find out what to do first. So we're not in the level of sprint planning. But the interesting question you raised is, when are we actually doing this? When are we doing this effort thing? It's not during sprint planning. It's way before. I need to hear the requirement for the first time weeks before, if possible, weeks before sprint planning, because I don't want to be shocked with a new requirement, have to come up with a solution and an estimate on the same day. And of course, this doesn't fit into the sprint planning, which is a kind of a short meeting. So there is something called backlog grooming in Scrum. And grooming, nothing else means than cleaning up or tidying up something. So you're cleaning the backlog. So the product owner is actually a backlog cleaning specialist. So he's cleaning the backlog all day and talking to the customer all day. So he has 200% jobs, right? Talk to a customer, clean the backlog. So he hears what he says, and he cleans the backlog on the other side and reprioritizes and orders things, right? That's how it works. So you as a developer, ideally, let's say 2 weeks before, you hear the new ideas that the customer had. 1 week before sprint, the next sprint, you will hear the details that we got from the customer. And then we are in sprint planning. You heard of this requirement already. You have even raised a few questions already, and now it's just about details and the last things you don't understand. So you have done the effort way earlier than sprint planning. That would make sense. So you've already slept a few days and thought about the requirement and stuff like that. It's not new for you. So before even I go to the state of accepted, I expect people to sit down and do those estimates. When do they happen? Well, somewhere during the sprint, because backlog grooming happens all the time and sprints happen all the time. So we have to reserve some capacity from the team for those grooming meetings. So let's say the new reporting module is a large feature. If we do t-shirt sizes, would be 1 to 5, 4 would be large. And I think the export is a small feature, so I give it a 2. And let's give some random values to the next ones. If there's something really large, you can give it something really large to indicate, well, this is way more than our t-shirts can handle. We need to split this up at some point if we're going to do this. I think it's a great moment for questions now.
Yes, sir. I have a question.
Yes, please.
We're doing backlog grooming now on a project.
Yes. You're getting very high, estimates because of a lot of risk the knowledge is not too high about what should happen. Okay.
And what you get is that programmers are thinking about difficult scenarios that might happen.
Yeah. So, what's very important about this effort estimation technique here in the ideal world, right? I mean, it doesn't make you faster to estimate at this point. The only good reason why we do those estimates here from a development perspective is that we start thinking about, can we break the problem down in smaller problems? It's interesting, if you ask a developer, can you fit something into a sprint, he will say yeah or no directly. If you ask him give an estimate, now he has a few questions. Why didn't he have any question when I asked him if it fits into a sprint, but he has questions when I want a number from him? Something's weird there, right? So it forces you to think about, is that a problem I can break down into smaller problems or not? That's what you get out of this stage. And of course, developers tend to go into a very technical discussion at this point, and we're trying to not to do that, because a product backlog item defines what is the result that the customer expects. He doesn't care about how you technically solve it. You will find a way during the sprint to technically solve it. At this stage, I just want you to raise questions. Have you understood what the customer wants? Show him the storyboard and stuff like that, right? We're just talking about the what, the outcome, and trying not to go deep into any technical details. If, of course, sometimes it's a mix, right? But we're trying to focus our discussion. Do we understand what the customer expects in 2 or 3 weeks to be delivered? And if you do it like that, and especially if you limit the range of effort, like I suggested, to 1 to 5, for example, then it's a different thing. It's not like, how long do you need? It's, is this product backlog item larger or smaller than this other thing we just finished in the last sprint? That's all I want to know from you. And I don't want you to have a good reason for it. Just what you think. Just tell me. Make the whole team do this effort estimation thing, right? So not a single developer is doing the estimates for everyone in the team, because we want to ask everyone. You can use planning poker cards, you know, those nice cards that you can turn around. And then you will get an average from what people think, and you will see if they all have the same opinion about the effort, or if there are large gaps. One says it's a very large feature because it knows some details, the other says very small. And this is what you should do. Let the whole group do the estimation, and then you will get a really good estimate even without going further into details. And again, it's an estimate, right? It's like a weather forecast. Actually, I have analyzed the weather forecast for the last 17 years for the Easter weekend. 16 times it was wrong. That's a forecast, okay? So we can be wrong here, and people just should be aware that we can be wrong. And this is another good reason why this is some number, which can be a shirt size or points, and it's not something like a day or ideal days or whatever you like to use. Because if somebody hears that this item is 4 ideal days, he will call me in 4 days and ask if it's ready. And this is not what this is telling. This is just a relative estimate so we can do some prioritization and ordering thing. It's not about how we will implement it or when it will be done. We will do all the task planning later, not at this stage. Okay, let's move on. So we have a backlog, and once we have enough detail that the developers actually understand what the customer outcome should look like, and we get an effort from the developers and technical dependencies, then as a product owner, I can approve something, and now it's approved on the backlog. Let's approve a few of those. Actually, there's no multi-select. If you're looking for multi-select, that's super easy, just somewhere else. Obviously, there is no for state, so you go to edit selected work items. I want to set those to state equals approved. You cannot change a state field without changing the reason field to a valid reason, so you have to add this one. It's called accepted by, approved by the product owner. There we go. And now you're looking for the save button. Actually, there are a few save buttons here. There's one, two, three, and one fourth is hidden right over here. Actually, there are two over here with different rules. So make always sure to click the right one. I usually click on the wrong one. Let me show you my favorite example. You create a new query with some random whatever. It's an unsaved query. And now you just continue working in that unsaved query and what else. And now you want to go to another page. Oh, you haven't saved your query. Oh, that's right. I need to save it. Sorry. But then you have all those buttons, and they're all gray. They're all inactive because you have to go to the editor and click the second one to save. Just that you know if you're looking for it. It's intuitive when you know where to click. That's how intuitive is defined, right? If you know where to click, and it's intuitive. Good. Anyway, we have added effort. So as a product owner, from time to time, there are people that actually ask you when something will be done. I know it's crazy, but sometimes people want to know when software is done or features are delivered. And 6 to 8 weeks, very good. Standard answer. Yeah, that's one approach, the standard answer approach, which also works. And at the beginning of the project, it's the same thing as before Scrum. Just lie. You have no clue. You don't know, right? It's everything can go wrong. So do whatever you've done before that to figure out how long it will take. A default answer is a good one. 6 to 8 weeks default answer. I like that. Yeah.
Search for 6to8weeks.com.
6to8weeks.com, is that a nice website? Huh. So what you can do here is activate this forecast feature, which is like the weather forecast, right? So you have to come up with a number. This is not automatically done. You have to come up with a number. And he will use that number of effort points per sprint, which is like your average velocity. In this case, he thinks we can do 10 per sprint. But let's say 5 is more realistic. So you will see that after sprint 6, this is where we planned our public release. And this is why we selected 6 sprints for now. This is the bold line here. This is where we will be. So if 5 is our average, then things that are around sprint 6, the cut line here, are at high risk that we will not actually make into the product. But you can also try things out. Okay, in the worst case, we will do 3 per sprint. So this is our worst case scenario. Let's try our best case scenario, which will be 8. Oh, that's pretty good. And let's try the average most likely scenario. So you can play with this. And of course, you need to know which of those sprints are actually real typical sprints and which are totally screwed up because it was vacation time, nobody was there. So you have to come up with an average value here that you want to try. Always try different values, like best approach, worst approach, and most likely. And then you have a feeling, you can tell your customer, this is kind of guaranteed you will get that, but this is where it gets really risky, and we're not sure if you'll get that at the end of the project. Pretty new in update 1 is also this board here for product backlog items, so you can now also drag and drop things to the approved state, and you can indicate that something's committed and done. And what is also interesting, you can define alerts here if you say, okay, there should not be more than 4 things in a certain state, and then you get a red indication that there are too many things in a certain state. It basically just changes the state in the background. Now, at some point, we start with sprint planning. So before sprint planning, we have done all the stuff we've done so far. Estimates, ordering, this is all done before sprint planning. So sprint planning is now nothing more than we look at the items that our product owner wants us to do, and he will probably drag and drop a few of those items into the sprint. They're all in the state approved. That means we haven't said we will do it. It's just the product owner wants us to do it. And then we can discuss with him, and we can commit to those items if we want to by changing the state. So let's say we commit to two, and the third one, no, this is really too much. Let's put it back on the backlog. And during sprint planning, you have to come up with a plan how you want to solve this as a team. So you need to have tasks. All the time tracking in TFS and all the remaining work tracking happens here in the task object. So we need to create tasks for literally everything, like coding, 8 hours. By default, I'm using hours here, but TFS doesn't really care. It's just some integer again. You can use whatever you like, days or some arbitrary unit. What else do we do? Testing sometimes. Let's do it realistically. 8 hours for development, so 1 hour of testing. How about documentation? Did I show you that we can even use point ones in here? No, let's be more realistic. Right? I don't know, prepare for the customer sprint review meeting. Somebody needs to prepare that meeting, 1 hour, and stuff like that. So you will add all the tasks down here. So two things that are important about the size. A product backlog item, how large should it be? It has to fit into a sprint. And actually, it has to be even smaller, because you don't want exactly one product backlog item to be in a sprint, because then you have the full risk of not being able to do it. You at least want two or maybe three or four items to fit into a sprint. So those product backlog items are really, really small from a project management perspective, and are more like feature packages or single features. How long should a task be, or what should the size of a task be? I would suggest not longer than a day. So they should fit into a day. Maybe you have two or three or four for your day, but they should be somewhere around 2 to 8 hours. Well, 8 hours is a little bit tough for one day, right? But something in that regard. So once you created your tasks, and you have to do this for all kind of product backlog items, even for bugs, because bugs are considered product backlog items. It's a separate work item type in TFS, the bug work item and the product backlog item. But on the bug, you want different fields, right? What is the customer reporting it? What was the environment? Where did you click? And stuff like that. So it's a different work item type. But still, if you have a bug, it's the same thing. Even if it's a small typo in theory, you would have to plan it, put it on the sprint. We commit to it. We put in an effort. Acceptance criteria, the bug is fixed. And somebody verified it. No, not only fixed on your machine. Things like that. Can you create a template for that? Interesting. Well, actually, you could, right? Because you could create a template for the bug work item type for the acceptance criteria. Yeah, you can create templates or scripts or whatever. And so you need to have at least one task, which would be fix the bug. But maybe you want a second one, like review my code, some other developer, and maybe verify it. Verify it's gone. Maybe it's a complicated one. So now we came up with a plan, and we could just go and start the sprint, or we just want to make sure that our capacity is right, so we can do capacity planning. If we want, we don't have to, but it's allowed to do it. So you define who's part of your team. I haven't told you we have a very small team here, a team of one. So your question with three people, yes, even a team of one works. And you put him some time, he works 4 hours a day. Does he have any days off or any periods off for the whole team? And you have to define the sprint start and end dates after you saved, obviously. The sprint started 2 days ago, and the sprint will stop tomorrow. And now you see we have a total capacity of 4 and 21 hours to do. So this is now real life. And if you have a capacity problem, that's super easy. Now it works. So you're not required to use this capacity thing, but it's a tool for the team to just figure out if we sum up the remaining work of all the tasks we just identified and compare it to who is there, who's on vacation, do we have any holidays and stuff. Are we still on plan, or should we now tell the product owner, guess what, we have to return one of the items. It's way too much. It's just one more mechanism to find out that the capacity is not doing what you want. Okay, so what's next? We start the sprint. We had done our sprint planning. Sprint planning is part of is creating those tasks, and the other part is coming up with some architectural discussions and stuff, because in Scrum, they say it's a great idea to do architectural discussions with the whole team, not just one architect or something. So there is no dedicated architect who does decide things, but the whole team decides. So you can be sure that you get the knowledge from all the experience from all guys on the team. And then we should move those items. So once we start working, let's say the coding, we would just drag and drop it over, and it would obviously change the state. But don't do that before setting the person filter to somebody on your team. Then it will collapse everything that he's not working on, and he's not working on anything right now. And now I can open things and drag them over. So when I do drag and drop here, it will change the state to in progress, obviously, and it will also set the assigned to field to me now. You can also change the assigned to field by just clicking onto the hidden field on the lower right. There is a field. Or just by dragging and dropping. If you look at the change history, the last change, the important part was we went from to do to the in progress state. And the assigned to field was empty, and now it has a value. And if we continue drag and dropping to done, again, two things happened. We're now in the done state. The state changed from in progress to done. And the close date is set to the close date field. And remaining work was zeroed out, was emptied, because you cannot have open work if you say something's done. Otherwise, it wouldn't be done, right? So this happens automatically. And if you go back, there's a validation that tells you, well, without remaining work, you cannot have something open. So you have to supply remaining work. So you should be updating those values for remaining work for your personal work items at least once a day, because every day the burndown chart will sum up all the open work so that you can see how much work in total for the whole team is left between now and the end of the sprint. Burndown statistic created for the whole team. Don't confuse with the burnout statistic, that's a personal one. And it's not automatically tracked by TFS. Burndown is, burnout is not. So this is obviously not a very nice burndown chart because we just started the sprint. But ideally, it would start on the first day, and at the end of the first day, you created the initial task, everything that you thought of the first day, and then it has an ideal trend going down to the last day of the sprint. That gray area over here, that's weekend, because tomorrow is weekend, thank God. So the first question that should come up now is, hey, can we work on weekends? Yes. See? The capacity planning, by the way, ignores weekends by default. But no worries, you can turn that on. If you want to work on weekends, that's not a problem. And I'm happy to show you how that works if you want to know. What is it? Can we do it tomorrow? Yes, you can call me up tomorrow. I will be very happy to help you. But since you ask, let me show you what we can do here. So many things you've just seen so far can be configured. So all the vocabulary came out of the Visual Studio Scrum template, and there's an official admin interface. It has a black background and white text. So it's a real, interface. And it's very easy to remember. It's just two commands. It's export command process common process config and export agile process config. So you just say, with admin, please export the current configuration. I already forgot the parameters. And you just have to specify easy things like the full name and URI of your TFS. You know, after doing that a couple of hundred times, it's pretty natural. It feels pretty natural. Default collection. The project I'm looking at is the Scrum project. And please export this into the file C. Common process config text. This is real life. There's an agile. So there are many interesting things that you can change in those files. This is why I'm showing you that. So those files define how all these boards and stuff look like. So if you add a new state, for example, you would do that in here. And let me show you a few things. Here it is, weekends. This is the weekend control. It's defined as Sunday and Saturday. So if you say no, weekends are Monday and Tuesday, feel free to change that here. And especially that the tasks are counted as hours is defined in here, and you can change that too, just by importing them on the same command line. If you want to add some more fields, for example, to the quick add function in the backlog, which is over here, the quick add is this bar over here that only asks you for the title. You might want to add some more fields to it, like why don't we supply an initial effort or something like that. And just copy it down here. Now we have a second field, and we just have to import the Agile process config. If we now add new items, we can add them and the effort at the same time and then reprioritize it. Yes, sir. Is there something like a column for tags or some sort of grouping so that you can group some PBIs and work items together? You remember that sentence where I said Microsoft is doing Scrum now? So here, no. This is update 1 of TFS. Update 2 coming up in next month or so. It has tag support in there, which is pretty nice because you can like mark your PBIs from a customer X as such, and you can just group and filter by it. So you will find the filter right here, and you can filter by any text that you have used. You can just have to imagine it right now, and it will be in update 2 for TFS. Yes. You're using areas. Yes. You can still use areas, but in this view, you cannot filter by area or group by area, right? So using tags would be way nicer in this view here specifically. You can still continue to use areas. For example, if you have a structure, like a component structure of your application, it makes sense. And it's also used if you have teams of, like Scrum of Scrums approach, so multiple teams. You can also use the areas for teams and for component structure. Yes, it still works. It's still there. Nothing changed. No worries. Just another way of grouping things. Because, sure. Maybe this is also a solution. You have an area field that you can use for that, but it's more flexible if you have tagging support because you don't have to introduce things like a blocked field. You just say you, you get the tag blocked. Now I have a blocked field. And you three get the tag, I promised customer X to call him back. So they're marked as this now. Yeah. That was it, right? Yeah. If you want to see it, actually, it's online on Microsoft online version of TFS. So if you go to tfs.visualstudio.com and sign up for a free account, you can already see the work item tagging up and running. Yes, it's already in the service, and it will be in the next update that's released in a couple of weeks. Sure. And it's a really cool feature. It really makes sense to work that way. Good. As a developer, do I have to use this website and the board? You don't have to. You can do everything in Visual Studio, and the board will be updated automatically. But you're allowed to use the website if you want to, or you can put it on the wall somewhere so you see the status of the whole team, or use it during daily Scrum. But you really don't have to. If you think about Visual Studio, you would probably have something like the Team Explorer open, and there's a new area called My Work. It's actually a hub or a page in this window here. And if you're a freak of and fan of keyword shortcuts, the shortcut is Control-0 starts talking to Team Explorer, and then you say M for My Work. Or Control-0-P for pending changes. or Control-0-W for work items, or Control-0-B for builds, or Control-0-M. Nothing happened. Wait, again. There we go, for my work and stuff like that. So in this my work window, you get your personal to-do list that is calculated out of that task board. Well, first of all, you get a video if you forget what I'm telling you. Don't show this again. Thank you. So this is the work items that you have in progress right now. We have work items that are suspended. We have work items that are available. And we have work items that are waiting for code review. So my available work items list is empty because it's only showing me work items in the to-do or in progress that are assigned to me. Wait, I have a few that are assigned to me. Of course I'm in the wrong project. I'm always doing it wrong. There we go. So now I see two items, and if I assign one of those to me too, it will show up here as well. If you want to see items that are not assigned to anyone, you can do that too. You can just open that query and change the query how it's defined. Edit query, remove the assigned to filter, save this as my to-do list query. Refresh. And now we have a query with all the tasks, even the ones that are not assigned to me, if we want to. Now, once you drag and drop it to in progress, it will automatically move it to the middle column of the task board. And if I change some code now and check it in, well, there is no check-in because I have no code, which makes sense. Luckily, we can change that. Now you will see that all the code changes are associated with work item 14, and when I check in, it will be the change that will be associated automatically. So he asks you if you want to resolve, that means you're done on this item, you want to resolve this item, or just associate. In both cases, it will be associated. The only question is, should you move it to the right column, the done column on the task board, or not? The default is yes, move it to the right column. Otherwise, you have to go to associate. So if I check this in, change that 15 is checked in, F5. There we go. It's now on the right column. So as a developer, you don't have to go out of Visual Studio. You can just use your My Work window, and it still works. And I also like the workflow, because what you do is you go to the My Work window, you grab one of those items you want to work on, put it to in progress. And since you just grabbed it, it's like physically grabbing it from a wall that is a task board. You will actually do whatever this card says, because you just said, so I will do this, so you will just do those code changes. If you are asked during check-in, what have you done, which was the Team Foundation Server approach in the last version, right, where you could not grab an item but first develop and then during check-in associate work, then you usually find out, oh, I've done three things at one time. Now I have to find those items and select and check in. You're forced to work more precisely and more logical operations once you select the item first you want to work on, and then do the code changes associated exactly to that item. What is also pretty interesting here, do you see what the default is? It's not check in. The default is suspend. So Microsoft assumes that the default situation is you will not be done with the task. Something else will interrupt you. I really have the feeling they're starting to understand us. It's awesome, isn't it? I mean, that looks really good. So the default is to suspend something, which will then create a shelf set on the server and put it away from you, and now you can do some other things and check it in. And once you have time, you can continue by drag and drop, obviously, and continue that work from the exact same place where you stop. So you always work on one thing at a time. Yes, please. Do you still have a physical board on the wall? Well, the answer is, it depends. It's a consultant answer, isn't it? If you have enough interns to update your TFS database and the wall, maybe. Well, it's still good to have something on the wall because it feels more natural. It's like if you store your definition of done, you know, the things that you always have to do for each new code change, if you put that somewhere on the server, nobody actually cares. If you put it on the wall, people start to care automatically. If you have a architectural diagram how your application looks like, if you store that somewhere on a computer, nobody cares, it will get out of date. If you have a whiteboard where everyone can just draw and remove and do things on the wall next to your office, people will just update it when they see something's wrong. So the wall is the number one information radiator position where you want information to be. So how do you get your board on the wall? Projector or touchscreen. There's a 42-inch touchscreen device. So you can do your daily scrums in front of a monitor and actually do touchy things on your task board. And this is all touch-enabled. And I think that's probably the best answer for now. So make it feel like a physical board, but use all the like auditing and stuff that you get out of your server. Yes, please.
We use a whiteboard with magnetic post-it notes.
Whiteboard with magnetic post-it board. Wow, post-its, nice.
I find that it's...
Do they move by himself or is it just... No, they don't move by itself, right?
Yeah.
Have you thought just as a minute, have you thought about using the Kinect SDK, you know, the Xbox Kinect SDK to actually see where they are? And
No.
I think that would work.
No, but
yes. Oh, what's the question?
I personally feel that it's much more satisfying to move a physical thing than a touchscreen or something. Maybe it's because that's virtual or something, I don't know, but it feels much more satisfying.
Yeah, basically he says it feels way better to have something physical on the wall that you can grab and move it to the done column than doing it on a computer. And yes, I agree. I don't know why. Maybe it's not with the younger generation. I don't know. It's at least for me, yes, I love to have something. But again, if you do the touchscreen approach, it's way better than just having it on your monitor. So the more it feels like something that you grab, the better it will be. And actually the thing with the Kinect SDK, I'm not sure if this was a joke or somebody will come up with it. Because it makes sense, right? You have a real board, you just move something and something magic will happen and update it on TFS. There was actually once a task board for TFS written for the Microsoft Surface table. That felt pretty natural too. Because you had this huge task board and like they have those 50 finger points that it can detect and it can just update all your status things. That was pretty neat. But yes, make it feel as physical as possible is a good idea to do. The refining of product backlog items happens during product backlog grooming before the sprint planning. We said that, right? Then your sprint planning will not take up two or more days, obviously. But where do you do that? I mean, of course, you have this flat backlog here. And what is important is that the upper items are really good defined, and if we go lower, they're just ideas maybe. But I would like to see a hierarchy. I don't know about you, but I like having something like a business goal and breaking it down in something. So the typically strategic things that you would do. This is not interesting for the team. They want a flat backlog of features, size that fit in a sprint. But somebody in the company might care about something more hierarchy-driven approach. And you can do that by creating something that is called a team in TFS. Although a team is a pretty bad name, it's actually a backlog. Let's create a second backlog. And let's say this is the Scrum strategic or idea, even better. This is for the Scrum project, and we're just doing idea management here. Now we're getting a second backlog. Where we can manage ideas. I have an idea. It's like a business goal, increase customer satisfaction. And shiny reports now. Add more color is a very important business goal too. So you can have as many levels as you want in here. You do all the strategic planning in here. Nobody sees that from your developers. And all you have to do to come to the PBI level is once you add something that should be a PBI, add color pink into start screen. So let's say we have three levels. We have something like goals and some other requirement category, and then we have the PBI, which is the size that fits into a sprint. And we would grab this one and move it over to the area of the other backlog. Now it's not shown in here anymore because I only have my business things in here. And if I go back to the Scrum thing, let me just redefine a few things. I do not want to see the whole context by default. Now I still have my flat list in here for the team because I want the backlog to be flat. But if I want to have the full context, I just looked into the links and I see actually this belongs to the idea add more color or to the more strategic goal, and that one belongs to scroll business goal, increase customer satisfaction. So if I want, I get the whole context. There is a huge hierarchy how people break down our requirements into something that we like as a team and we think it's feasible during a sprint. So you can have those two backlog approach, like all your business analysts working in the one backlog, and just the last level that we call PBIs, this is the backlog that we will see as developers in our daily backlog and operational backlog. Does it make sense? So you can create backlogs as many as you want. Again, they are called teams, and you can have a backlog for impediments, a backlog for things you always wanted to do, improve your software process, whatever you want a backlog for, just create a separate team. And by changing the area field, you can actually book it into another area, and the other backlog will pick it up from that area. So a lot of flexibility here. This was just one example what you can do out of it. Product owner cannot attend the sprint planning meeting. Well, that's an easy one. Then he should not be your product owner. The problem is a different one. The usual problem is there's some very important guy in the company who says, I will be the product owner. Just because he's the boss. Because he likes the owner title. Makes sense? It does make sense. I get him. But he has zero time. He will not go into the detail of a PBI. And everything has priority one. So he is not an ideal product owner. What he needs is something like a business assistant that works for him, that will meet him whenever possible, talk to him, get the information out of him, and he will manage the backlog for us, the team. And that backlog manager, supervisor, assistant, intern, whoever he is, from a Scrum perspective, the product owner. He's the one managing the backlog. But give him another title, because your real owner still wants to be the owner, call him whatever. Proxy? No, proxy is not a nice term. Proxy product owner doesn't sound too good. Really not. So when are product backlog items refined? Is the business analyst part of the Scrum team? You can easily make him part of the Scrum team, but actually it's a second cycle that runs in parallel to your development sprints that are just there to fill the backlog and to refine the requirements. Two developers, one testers. Can you do a Scrum team? Yes. Of course, with just three people, you have to have a lot of knowledge. I mean, the cross-functional approach is a problem here. Do they know all the technologies? But still, I mean, it's a three-person team. It's pretty good. Why not? You can even do one-person team. You can also be Scrum Master and Product Owner and Developer and be a one-person team. Is it good? Would I recommend it? Well, probably not, but yes. And the nice thing about the three people is you have all the problems that also 10 people have, and you have to solve all of them. You can't say, oh, we're just three people. Let's leave out testing and deployment. You can't. You have to solve all the problems just with three people, and others maybe have 5 or 7. But it's all the same rules apply for you. During a sprint, I missed one. Maybe I wanted to. Well, it's kind of... Both are kind of the same approach, right? At the end of the sprint, you need to be done, and you have to define what done is. But done definitely means it's tested and it's ready to be deployed. So it's like one click from going to the customer. If your customer needs 10 years to give you feedback, that's not a pleasant situation. That's a challenge and a problem in the process. But if you have a customer that is not regularly engaged and you cannot ask him to look at your software and give you feedback, then you have to find some proxy again. If he's not able to give you feedback, find someone else who knows about the subject, maybe in your team, and play customer. But you need the early and frequent feedback. And hopefully your customer at some point will realize how valuable it is and that he can actually help you control the process and do changes to the software way earlier if he engages, and then he starts engaging. But if he doesn't want to, you have to solve it for you. So you have to be done.
Sorry, the system tester
Yeah, you have to find out that you, I mean, if you start with a new project, it's probably not likely that you can do all the testing and everything in sprint one, because just it's too much work. But you have to be done at the end of the sprint. If you're not, which can happen, it's not ideal and you have a huge problem, and your scrum master will help you, and the team will self-organize to improve in future. You all probably believe in self-organization of teams, right? We don't tell them what to do because they know what to do. Okay, we are half through the backlog, and we still have a few open things. The time is over, though. If you still want to talk about the other points, I'm still here, so feel free to talk to me. Otherwise, enjoy your ride towards the agile world. Good luck with it. If you have any questions, drop me an email or ask me here. And use the tooling and tell me if you like it or not, and especially enjoy Tech Days. Thanks a lot.